This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 142, Sugar Cravings and Addiction. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. I am looking forward to a nice long chat with all of you about a topic that I think affects many of us at different times in our lives, and that is sugar and cravings and addictions. And it's a huge topic, right? We could probably do 3 or 4 episodes on this, but it's been on my mind lately because I think the emotional toll of COVID has caused a lot of us to turn to things to supplement our emotional distress or to buffer. I like that word buffer. It's kind of creating a space between us and the things we don't want to feel. And sugar cravings tend to be one of them, especially if you live in a culture where it's not acceptable to indulge in alcohol and other addictive behaviors. You tend to turn to sugar because it can often be seen as an acceptable substitute. But I want to talk a little bit today about the difference between natural sweetness and the sweetness of life and what we're doing to ourselves when we consume or take in a whole lot of sugar. But I think we should start the conversation with the topic of addiction and what it means to actually be addicted to something. If you look up a dictionary term for this, addiction is something a person does repeatedly because of the rewarding effect that causes a compelling incentive to continue doing it. So there's many components to this, right? There is an incentive. There's something good that's happening at the end. You're getting a reward of some kind. Now, reward does not always mean it's good, but it's something that causes you to want to do it again and again. And so then you're doing this action repeatedly. All right. So it's an action we're doing repeatedly because we're getting some kind of a reward that incentivizes us to continue doing it. It's like getting good grades in school. If you're incentivized by good grades, then you're going to tend to study more because you want to get good grades. So it's this cycle or this effect. But when we act on cravings or addictions, we actually release dopamine. And dopamine is the happy drug, right? It's the happy neurotransmitter in our body that gives us a feeling of calm, a feeling of peace. But it's often not, well, we know that it's not actually going to be helpful when it's coming from this giving in to cravings and addictions, because it kind of creates this cycle of needing to always indulge into this addiction in order to have this dopamine hit. And we get to where our dopamine receptors downregulate. We need more and more of the thing in order to receive that same amount of dopamine. And so while dopamine is a good thing, we don't want to be having that released based upon these cravings or addictions. There's often a real emotional component to an addictive behavior or something that we're just craving and wanting all the time. And it's usually an emotional aspect of anxiety, stress, depression, avoidance, buffering, like I talked about. And so we feel like there's a reward that's coming by indulging in this behavior. But what is the real reward? The reward is that we are allowing ourselves to escape, right? It's an escape from an emotion, an escape from an experience. Oftentimes clients will tell me, well, I just enjoy how it feels, or I just enjoy how I feel after I drink or alcohol, or enjoy how I feel after I have sugar. It's like my whole body just feels like calm and I get really high strung and stressed out when I'm wanting it. And so it feels like the answer is to have it. This is true when we're working with like coffee. And someone's trying to come off coffee, which in Ayurveda, we don't love coffee. We know that it's not healthy and great for our bodies, but that's a hard thing because it's very culturally acceptable. Most people are used to drinking coffee. And so when we have them start to wean off of it, they have almost like withdrawal symptoms, especially when we're going through our cleanse experiences. We see this a lot with people during that. So we want to look at what is the real reward that we're getting by indulging in this repeated behavior. And often that reward is actually a negative reward, right? If in the case of sugar, we're having inflammation in the body, we're having excessive weight gain, we might be having an effect on our blood sugars, which can cause diabetes. So there's a lot of negative side effects with it. And so it's not a positive reward, but it's a reward emotionally. Okay, so we got to look at that. So what do we really want to be addicted to? Right? If we're going to choose, if you're going to choose to be addicted to something, what would you want to be addicted to? I wish that it was easy to want to be addicted to something like exercise, although I must tell you, I really love to work out and to move my body, and it is almost an addiction in the respect that it makes me just feel excellent. But we want to be addicted to like truth, to beauty, to goodness, because all of these things point towards our true nature as spirit. They connect us back to divine source, whereas addictions separate us from that. It separates us from the ability to truly feel, connect, and understand who we are, our true nature. And we know that Ayurvedically, our true nature is spirit, and that disease is caused by having a lack of awareness or knowledge about our true nature. So if we're doing something that is taking away from finding our true nature, then we're actually doing something that is taking us away from health. And so there's a direct correlation, right, between this disease that's manifesting and our inability to stay connected to our true nature as spirit. Because when you are in flow, when you are in spirit, you make choices that are very different than when you're only moving from a physical realm. I know at times in my life where I have practiced more yoga, when I've been practicing more meditation, when I'm really taking time to care for my spiritual side, that I don't have the same issues or desires for things that are not going to be as good for me, healthy, and for my body, right? For the sugar, maybe the excess indulgence and things. And so I want us to just see that it's a choice. And when we understand that there's a choice there, then we can start to maybe make a more positive choice. So I want to talk a little bit back about sugar, okay? So we kind of talked a little bit about the addiction process, and there's a whole lot that we could say about that, about what's going on in the mind and the brain, but I wanted to specifically focus on sugar and sweetness because many of us are coping with the stress of life and the uncertainty of the pandemic, and we feel like things are kind of coming back to normal, but we may have developed some of these habits over the last couple of years to cope with all of the stress that now we're having a hard time breaking. And I'll be honest, that's something that I'm struggling with. So I usually tend to teach you what I'm working on myself. So the Ayurvedic view on refined sugar is not favorable. We don't love refined sugars. It upsets the doshas. It can cause the formation of ama. It leads to addictive tendencies, which then cause us to be separate from spirit. So sugar itself, refined sugar, is not the same thing as sweetness. We know that we want to have all six tastes within our meals and in our diet, and sweet is a really important one. It's very balancing for vata. It's good for pitta. And so we know we need sweet in there, but when we're having refined sugar, that's totally different. Let's look at some of the negative impacts of sugar. We've mentioned a few already, but weight gain is a direct side effect. If you're eating too much of it, it's going to affect your blood sugar, which can lead to diabetes. It suppresses the immune system. Right now, while we're working really hard to keep our bodies healthy to fight against COVID and various strains of viruses that are out there, we need a strong immune system. So if you're eating refined sugars, you're suppressing your immune system. The sugar that you're eating inhibits the absorption of essential minerals. So that can lead to an impact on bone health, right? It can lead to an impact on the health of the cells itself. It causes your moods to fluctuate. You've noticed that, right? You eat sugar and you might get a little high and then you're going to have a crash. So it's going to be a destabilizer to your moods. It can lead to dementia, which I don't think any of us want to have dementia. My grandfather had dementia and led to Alzheimer's, and I don't think it was from sugar. He had other things going on in his health, but it's a rough thing. We just want to avoid that. It can contribute to osteoporosis, to the aging of your skin. So listen up if you're wanting to have your skin look healthy, vibrant, and youthful. Sugar is the enemy here. And it can also have a correlative effect on cancer and the formation of cancer. It kind of feeds those cancer cells. So those are some of the negative impacts on sugar. But we know that Ayurvedic view of sweetness is different, right? We mentioned that. The sweet taste is very grounding. It's very nourishing and calming. It gives strength to the body. That's why it's really good for vatas. It gives us vitality and contentment. That's why it typically represents the largest portion of your meals. But when you have too much of it, then you're going to have blockage in the channels. You're going to have the formation of ama, and it's going to slow down the movement of energy throughout your body. So sweetness does not equate to sugar. So I want you to start to separate those two in your mind. Sugar, sweetness, not the same. Natural sweetness is much more subtle. It's the difference between eating a natural orange and the sweetness that comes from that orange versus eating like Tang, Do you even know what Tang is? I really didn't know what Tang was until I married my husband, and his family grew up drinking Tang, pretending that was orange juice. So it's like a fake artificial orange drink. So think of something that is really overly sweet and compare that to a natural sweetness that you find in fruit. That's where you get that difference between natural and unnatural. So ultra sweet foods are really rare in a traditional diet. Most of that sweet artificial taste has been taught to us. It's been culturally taught to our mouth and our taste that that's something we want. But in traditional diets, that wasn't really prevalent. And so in nature, there's really not a lot of things that are super sweet, mostly just fruits. And so really, there wasn't that much in your diet that was from that sweet taste. But we want to look more for the subtle sweet taste. It's like when you chew on an almond for a while and that taste of sweetness that comes in your mouth afterwards, that's the taste we're looking for. So carbohydrates, proteins, and fats in foods all have a sweet taste, but we have to pay attention to find them. When you're eating a lot of artificial sweetener or artificially sweetened foods that have refined sugars, you don't taste that subtlety in food. That's one thing I really love about Ayurvedic cleanses. After you're done, your taste palate is so much more refined. You're able to identify these subtle differences in food and things that you never would have thought of as sweet. You can find the sweet in there. And then the foods that you maybe were eating before that had artificial sweetener or they had all of the refined sugars, they taste really too much. They're just kind of gross. So we want to refine our palate. Think of you're educating your mouth about what sweet really should taste like. Some natural foods that you get a really good sweet taste from are grains. So anytime you're eating like wheat, rice, oats, corn, breads, pastas, all of those are sweet. And most people eat plenty of those. They don't need to increase that. Dairy products, especially if you're having milk, has a sweet taste to it. Meat, like chicken or fish. And that's one that I don't think most people think of as sweet, but it's got this taste when you've chewed it for a little bit, you kind of let yourself sit with it. It's a sweetness that comes out. And then starchy vegetables. Some of these are obvious. Sweet potatoes. They have sweet in their name. I love sweet potatoes. I can't convince my son to like them. He just won't eat foods that are orange. I know that sounds strange. He's 17, but he decided when he was really little he didn't like sweet potatoes. And then he didn't like cantaloupe. And then he didn't like oranges. So he kind of just decided that orange foods were not his jam, which is so funny. He won't even eat peaches. Like I made a homemade like little peach compote the other day. He wouldn't eat peaches. So it's just interesting what we decide. But things like parsnips, squashes, regular potatoes, they all have a sweet taste to them. Fruits, of course. And then sweeteners like honey, syrups, molasses. Those are all really good natural sweet tasting foods. Nuts and seeds are often sweet as well. So let's talk about cravings when it comes to sugar, because it's something we have to work to overcome if we're stuck in this cycle of wanting that sugar, craving the sugar, the anxiety, the stress coming from wanting it, eating it, feeling a slight relief, then crashing emotionally afterwards, experiencing the weight gain, the imbalances, the inflammation, all the negative side effects, and then that cycle starts again. So how do we break it? First thing is look at your diet. Make sure there's enough natural sweet taste in your diet. So if you're eating a really low carbohydrate diet, you probably aren't getting enough sweet taste. So we want to make sure that you've got enough sweet taste in the diet. So listen to your body. It might be craving the sweetness because you need more sweet taste, not sugar. It might also be that you need more grounding. If you are running around helter-skelter like a crazy person and you're doing too much and your vata is elevated, especially this time of year, you might need more grounding. So look at your lifestyle practices. Can you add in a little bit more grounding practices, maybe some restorative yoga, a little more time of stillness, quiet, and then adding in some of these natural sweet carbohydrates. Make sure you're getting in grains, root vegetables, and then keeping some fruits in there as well. Okay, make sure you're eating it by itself though, so you don't end up causing digestive issues and formation of ama, because fruit eaten with other foods does not digest well. Second reason you might be having some problems is yo-yoing blood sugar levels. So this could be coming from if you're consuming caffeine, if you're eating a lot of foods that are high in their glycemic index. These would be like juices, smoothies, or if you're eating anything that are carbohydrates without adding in any protein with it. So if you're eating just plain rice all the time, that might be causing issues because it's going to cause blood sugar to come up and down. So we want to make sure that we're having a well-balanced plate when we're eating. Some things that you can do to help with this yo-yo blood sugar is to reduce caffeine. If you're taking in caffeine, work towards eliminating that. Might have to do a little bit at a time. I never grew up drinking sodas. We didn't have a lot of money, and soda was not something my parents were going to spend money on, and they were very health conscious. So I remember when I got married, I still was unable to actually drink an entire cup of like caffeinated soda or even just regular soda because it would make me really sick. And I never drank coffee. So the caffeine thing for me isn't a problem, but I have siblings who Mountain Dew is like their version of water. It's been a huge challenge for them to let go of that. And also if you're used to your morning cup of joe and you have to have that coffee to get going, it's something to pay attention to that's going to affect your blood sugars and make you crave sugar more and sweet things. So decrease that amount of caffeine, cut it down. And then really replacing the sugar. So look at what you're taking in when you're craving the sweet taste and see if you can have something else that doesn't have quite such that artificial or the refined sugar in it. So honey can be really good. Honey's really sweet, but it also is astringent and a little bit warming. So it's really good for vata and for kapha. So if you have a vata or kapha imbalance or constitution, honey is really good. It's really the only sweetener that's recommended for kapha. So my father has diabetes, and so honey is something we've gotten him to be able to substitute. So when he needs a sweetener, he always uses honey in there. Best if you can find it raw instead of processed, because the glycemic index is different. In raw honey, it's going to be a lot lower versus processed honey. It's about half as much in the glycemic index, which is interesting. Now, jaggery is a good sweetener. It's best for vata because it's sweet and cool. And so the coolness, we want to make sure we balance how much jaggery we're using, because remember, vata is already cold, but it's a nice balancing one for vata. And maple syrup is a really great one for pitta. So those are some different ways you can use sweeteners, your honey, your jaggery, your maple syrup, and then making sure you're getting enough naturally sweet whole foods, that you're getting lots of grains, root vegetables, and then have your meals can include protein, some kind of protein. It doesn't have to be huge. I'm not talking about a steak or anything like that, but you could have a little bit of protein with that. And that even could be beans, right? Because beans have a lot of protein in them. And then adding herbs and spices for your blood sugar. Cinnamon is a really great one to help reduce the desire for sugar, and it balances blood sugar levels. So start adding cinnamon to your food, and it just tastes so yummy, right? And then making sure that you are eating regular meals. So when you're working on blood sugars, you need to eat at the same time. Don't get super hungry. So if you aren't hungry, you don't want to eat, but you don't want to get yourself to a place where you're ravenous, because that's when you know you've gone too far. Your blood sugars are all out of whack. All right. So that was your second problem, is the yo-yo blood sugar. Third one is that you're missing a vital taste from your meals. If you don't have all six tastes represented when you eat, then your body will respond to this lack by giving you cravings. And it's mostly going to crave the sweet taste to help you feel more satiated. So if you're not feeling satisfied after your meal and you're always kind of like scrounging around for something else to eat, that is like classic in my house. I watch my husband do that almost every night. It's really kind of funny. It's like, oh, is there a treat? Is there a treat? And we never have treats in the house, like not that kind of treat. So I might cook up an apple or something like that, but he's always like, where's the treat? And it's because there's not enough balance to what he's eating. He doesn't eat the same food that I cook for the rest of the family typically. So it's a little bit different there. But the solution to that is really make sure that each meal is well-rounded, that you have all six tastes. Remember, they are sweet, sour, salty, pungent, bitter, and astringent. If some of those don't sound familiar to you, or you're unfamiliar with the foods that might be included in those lists, I would just do a little quick Google search of what are pungent foods, what are bitter foods, what are astringent foods. Sweet, sour, and salty, we're pretty much good on. Most people understand those. And the last little craving problem that we want – oh, actually, I've got a couple more I want to cover. One of the other craving problems would be that you've tried everything, right? But you just need more help. Sometimes if you've been really eating too much sugar for a long period of time, then it can be really hard to do the things that I've advised, right? You can still feel that challenge. So I want to share with you a wonderful herb. And this is an herb that goes by many different names. It means sweet destroyer, but you'll see it as chardunica. You'll see it as gurmar. And so those are two different names that you'll have. I'll add them in the show notes because those are kind of tricky words. But it means sweet destroyer, and it's been used for ages in Ayurveda. There's been a lot of research about it in the modern times. And so there's a lot of evidence showing that it actually has the ability to suppress the sweet taste. So that means that it reduces the reward sensation from sweet foods, which is going to reduce how much you want to eat them. And also it acts to reduce your appetite in general. So it's really been beneficial for people who are struggling with diabetes or obesity or excessive overeating, sugar cravings. And so there's a lot of good information that you can find out about that. But I really like the one that Banyan Botanicals has made. They actually can put it in a capsule and they call it Sweet Ease. And you would take two of those before meals, about 15 minutes before your meals. You can also get the actual herb and take it as a tea. So if you look up Shardunica, and it's Shardunica, you can take a half teaspoon of the powder and do it mid-morning and again mid-afternoon, especially that mid-afternoon because that's when the cravings tend to get worse, right? We're usually pretty good in the morning and then the afternoon comes and it's like, oh my gosh, I just want a little snack. There's so many reasons why that happens, the time of day, Vata rising, how much you took care of yourself and grounded in the morning, what you've been doing. So there's a lot of factors, but taking this as tea can really help. And if you combine it with Shilajit, it's going to give a lot of energy to your body. So you could actually add Shilajit in there with that. Okay, so that's kind of the medicinal way that we could go about it. And then we got to look at what's going on emotionally inside, right? So that's kind of our fifth problem with sugar cravings is there's typically, like I mentioned before, an emotional tie to addiction. Sugar is no different. So a few things that I have liked to do that have really helped me with sugar itself is to look at my Agni. Is my digestive fire working well? Because sometimes there is a connection to the kidneys and the adrenal glands and we're needing more energy. And so look at your sleep patterns. Are you digesting your food well? Are you giving yourself enough downtime and rest? And are you giving yourself enough exercise and movement? There's a balance, right? And everything. So we want to look at if we're trying to use that sugar for stimulation in order to get energy moving through the body, then we're artificially exciting the kidneys and the adrenals, and eventually those can burn out. So we want to be careful about that. We want to pull back on that sugar so we can keep more balance with what the kidneys are up to. Something that helps as well with the emotional side is to create a gap between your desire for the item, whether it's sugar, caffeine, alcohol, any of those things, and the action that you take. So when you feel a craving, give yourself 10 minutes. Just feel the craving. It's not going to kill you, I promise. If you resist the craving, it's always going to increase vata first. Okay, so when you're being with the craving, you're being with the feeling, I want you to notice the rise in vata. This can cause you to feel anxious, to feel restless, to feel empty, to feel ungrounded, and maybe even fearful. This is totally normal, friends. And so I think when we realize it's normal when we're wanting something to then feel this restless anxiety and then to realize nothing bad's going to happen because of this restless anxiety. And here is the goal. If you can feel the urge 100 times and you can allow that urge to move through you, just energy, right, is emotion. Energy in motion is emotion, so feel the motion of the energy, and then just ride the wave, 100 times to mastery. So when we think, oh my gosh, I've been fighting this for a while, we're not actually trying to fight it. We really want to let our bodies feel the emotion that we're feeling, ride the wave of emotion, write it down if that's helpful to you. I like to have an urge jar. Well, actually write down whatever I'm working on, right? If it's a habit I'm trying to overcome, write down that urge that I felt of, oh, like it was really stressful this afternoon. I was working on a project. It wasn't going very well. I really wanted to eat something that was sweet and chocolate was all I wanted. And I sat and thought about it for a while. And then I had a glass of water and I moved on. So you can put that little note in your urge jar. And as you build up to that 100 number, that's where we start to find mastery. And it's not by suppressing the feeling. It's allowing ourselves to feel it all the way through and to understand where it's coming from and to have compassion for the times that we feel the emotion and we still want to go eat the chocolate because that's okay. That's called being human, not a problem. Another thing is that the next time that you choose to have sugar or caffeine or alcohol, you choose, take your time and enjoy it slowly. If you eat the food slowly, you're going to experience both the positive and negative aspects of the food. Because a lot of times when we have a craving, we consume it quickly and we don't even notice the pleasure that we're getting from it or the negative pain we're getting from it. For example, you might think something tastes delicious, but it usually doesn't taste so delicious by the fourth or fifth bite. It's only in the beginning that we're like, oh, the stimulation of the sensory receptors and the tongue is being excited by it. And then we've had too much and it's not as good anymore, but we continue to eat. So if we could just slow it down, you might find that you naturally start to stop before you've had too much, or you naturally start to resist wanting to eat it because you realize it doesn't actually make you feel good. So this is just an experiment. If you're going to have it, indulge fully, enjoy it, take your time, be with it, have an experience. Don't hurry quick, stuff it in your mouth when you're in between doing other activities, okay? Something else you could try is a two-week abstinence experiment. So this is an opportunity for you to give yourself a short period of time where you are going to experiment with how you feel when you take this thing away. So if you are struggling with letting go of caffeine, could you go 2 weeks? And if 2 weeks feels too long at first, could you go 1 week? If 1 week feels too long, could you go a day? So we're going to start small and then build up, because if we feel like we have to give up this thing forever and ever and ever, we're probably not going to do it. But if we know that it's just for a short period of time and that we're doing an experiment, we're seeing, do I feel different when I let go of this? Do I feel different physically, and do I feel different emotionally? Both of those are really important. And another thing to focus on is your sleep and rest patterns. So I mentioned that earlier, but if lack of caffeine and sugar aren't the problem, they won't be the solution. So if you're tired and you think that the solution is to stimulate your body with caffeine and sugar, that's probably not the actual answer to your problem. That's a nice band-aid for a moment, but it's actually going to cause more negative side effects down the road. And so the more we can get to the root cause, that's what Ayurveda is all about, getting to the root cause. If you can get to the root cause of what's actually creating this problem for you, then we can solve the problem. I'm not getting enough sleep, that's why I'm exhausted. And I'm not sleeping well because I'm worried and I'm overworking. So we can start to trace it back as to asking why. So anytime that you think, okay, I didn't sleep very well last night, well, why? And then when you figure out the answer to that, say, oh, I worked too much. Well, why did I work too much? And why was I doing this too much? So we really want to uncover the deep core as to what's going on. So I mentioned the herb that you can use. Another thing that I really like is called a tasty ginger drink. And this is a drink that you can take first thing in the morning or before your meals. And it really helps if you have a lot of sugar cravings and you're trying to balance your blood sugars. And I will put the recipe for this in the show notes, but I'll tell it to you here. So you just take 2 teaspoons of freshly grated ginger. So peel it first, grate some ginger. You'll have 4 to 5 teaspoons of honey, or you could use date sugar. I typically just use honey. 1/4 teaspoon of pink Himalayan rock salt, 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper, and 2 teaspoons of lemon juice. Mix all those ingredients well. It will keep in the refrigerator up to a month, and you're going to just drink 1/4 teaspoon of this first thing in the morning and or before your meals. You can dilute it with some hot or warm water if it's too intense, so make like a little tea of it. But this ginger drink is going to help you with cravings for excessive sugar and sweetness. Okay, so that's a good one you can try. The other thing to look at is making sure you have enough bitters in your diet. So bitters actually shut down the sugar receptors in your brain. So it cuts the cravings right at the source. It slows the absorption of sugar. It regulates your blood sugar. And there's a whole bunch of scientific information about how it controls your appetite, because it stimulates hormones, peptide YY in the gut, and GLP-1 hormone also in the gut, that are released upon eating, and they reduce your appetite and release insulin. So what causes a stimulation when you eat these bitters, it stimulates these hormones that then control the appetite. So I'll put a link as well to this study that was done on this. It's really interesting about how these particular hormones impact appetite and obesity. So you can kind of get the science behind it. But some bitters to see if you can add more into your diet would be things like dandelion leaves, artichokes, Brussels sprouts, radish, chicory, arugula. So a lot of those leafy greens are bitters. Grapefruit, which I love this time of year, lemon, orange, milk thistle, valerian, marjoram, oregano, ginger. You could add those to your cooking. Peppermint, yarrow. So all of these bitters are things you could add into your meals. You can also eat something bitter about 15 minutes before your meal, and that helps with digestion. And we've talked about a lot of these other ideas, you know, increasing the taste of all six flavors at your meals, that tasty ginger drink that we mentioned. So all of those are going to help with the bitter taste and getting more of that into your diet. So I hope that as we've talked about this, you for one see that there's a lot of components to an addiction or a craving and that there's nothing that's gone inherently wrong. It's actually your body's way of surviving because you've trained it to want these things. Western society has trained our mouths to want this overly sweet taste. So when we start to work on behavior and lifestyle and we work on replacing that sugar habit with other things, we use herbs, we use meditation, we use movement, we use things like the tasty ginger drink, and we add in these bitters. There's a lot of strategies that we can use that can actually help us with these cravings for sugar. So I hope that this was helpful, that you were able to really grasp onto some good ideas here. Maybe just choose one to work from and see how it affects you. And I would love to hear feedback because I want to know if you're trying things, if they're working, what you're tweaking, what you're finding as you're actually applying it in your lives. So I hope you're having a beautiful, beautiful week and that you've been enjoying all of these podcast episodes. We've had some amazing interviews lately. If you have not ordered your free starter kit, please do so. We've got them sitting here waiting to send out to you. So you can order those at ayurvedalifeschool.com. And if you have not joined the immersion, this immersion group is something that is real time. You can sign up today and start immediately. And it allows you to start really implementing and putting these practices into play so that these habits become part of who you are and you can truly start to live more of an Ayurvedic lifestyle. You can learn more about the immersion at ayurvedalifeschool.com/Ayurveda immersion. So have a beautiful day. We will talk to you next week. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.